Is that better? Okay, let's read it together, shall we? I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore I call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed even when I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your handservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Is he surprised when they die? We read in Psalm 139 that he knows our thoughts afar off. Well, if he knows our thoughts and he knows them at a long way away, surely he knows our time and when it will be passing. And it must be in his plan. Then we might ask, is the Lord unable to keep us alive? Well, if we look at verse 6, we find the Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Or verses 1 to 4, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. So the psalmist prays and his prayer is answered. So the Lord is able to keep him alive. So we must conclude from that that if the Lord is not surprised, but he knows every step we take, and if the Lord is able to keep us alive, then it must be his sovereign timing when we pass. It must be part of his will. And we read this morning, didn't we, that Peter said, I must soon depart, as the Lord Jesus told me. Imagine that apostle living all his life thinking, I'm going to be martyred sometime. And now when he's writing to these people, he knows it's very close. Perhaps he was already in Rome and knew that therefore his martyrdom was imminent. We heard this morning, didn't we, that Simon Forshaw's got 2 months he's been given because of this brain tumour. What's it like to live with that knowledge? And yet we should all be living knowing that our life here is temporary, and that we will be taken as part of his sovereign plan. We might say, even though the house is half built, why does God take someone away when the builder is necessary? Do you remember the story of William Carey in India? He'd been there many years. He'd built up the printing press. He was the translator of between 35 and 40 languages. And he had huge stocks of scriptures in different languages and tracts and writings. And then there's a fire, wipes out his printing press, and all they could rush and carry out were some of the lead and as much as they could get out. But most of the literature went. All that work for years and years. Why does the Lord do that? Can we answer that question? It's part of his sovereign plan, isn't it? In some inexplicable way, God acts. And look at verse 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. Whenever we ask that question, why, let's go back and know and affirm these certain things, that God is gracious, he is righteous, and he is merciful. And we may ask the whys, but they won't be answered here. But we know our God is righteous, that he is merciful, that he is gracious. And in all these things, he is working out his perfect plan. We're on point 6, so we haven't got far to go. Just have a look at Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. It's a verse we ought to learn and keep in our minds fresh, because it answers so helpfully the whys of life. Deuteronomy, that's the fifth book, chapter 29, verse 29. I'll wait till you've all got it, because it will then sink in as you read it with me. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. There is tremendous truth here in the beginning of the Old Testament. The secret things, the whys, the things we can't answer, the questions we have, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. And he's not going to disclose those to us. He's all wise and all knowing, knows it's better that we don't know those whys. But because he is wise, spelt the other way, he reveals things to us that we may know, and not only us, they're for the benefit of our children as well, forever. And the benefit of that is that we may do the words of his law, that we may obey the scriptures, that we may apply those to our hearts, because that's what our responsibility is in knowing him, is to obey his law by the things we do know. And don't we have too much in order to keep? We fail so much, don't we? And then back to Psalm 116 and verse 16 forward. Let me read those again. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in the midst of, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. In a way, when you read this psalm through, that verse, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, seems to stand on its own and doesn't seem to fit with either the beginning or the end. But as a result of it, the psalmist is saying, and maybe he had lost a good friend, that I will call on the name of the Lord. I will keep my promises to the Lord in the presence of the people. I will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, not a sacrifice of animals, but a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and call on the name of the Lord. So he would not sin with his lips, like Job, who did not sin with his lips. Just in reflection, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The Lord said several times in Scripture that he was pleased with his son. This is my son whom I love. Hear him. And in the same way as he loves his son, so he loves his saints. And somehow the death of his saints is precious to God. Remember that verse at the communion table where the Lord Jesus said, I have earnestly desired to eat and drink this with you. The Lord Jesus knew it was the last time with his disciples before he ate and drank in heaven with them. And he said, I've earnestly, precious is this time with you. And in the same way, the death of God's saints is precious to him. Is it because he's drawing them into his presence? Is that the reason why their death is precious to him? Because now he's going to display his glory fully to them in a wonderful way they've never known. Should we therefore covet what our brother has gained and what we have lost through what the Lord has done this week, knowing that that was a precious thing for our God? Can we not see it also as precious for us that our dear brother is safely home in the arms of Jesus?
Don't you?